name is Jade Paveley, and this is Motorsport Now. I'm really excited to share with you my first interview of 2024, and my first guest is Gary Pearson. Gary is from Duns in Scotland, and he started his motorsport career in autocross before progressing into rallying with his first class win in 2010 in the Scottish Rally Championship. Fast forward to 2021, he made history by achieving four titles in 1 year. He won the Motorsport UK national title, the BTRDA Rally Series, the Welsh Rally Championship, and the Scottish Rally Championship title. Last year, he was second only to WRC competitor Adrian Formeau in the BRC. Ahead of the first round, which is actually this week for the BRC, I managed to catch up with Gary and have a good chat to him about all things motorsport, about his career, about what he wants to do in the future. And we even got down to the nitty gritty, talking about how he prepares for an event and also about his pace notes, which I thought was really interesting. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Motorsport Now. My name is Jay Paveley and this is Gary Pearson. Welcome to Motorsport Now. Thank you so much for making the time. We're here at your business and you've made a nice little space for us to have a chat today. We are 7 weeks away from the first round of the British Rally Championship. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me. I think I'm feeling pretty prepared. I've probably got a little bit more work to do for sure, but I've been working very hard throughout the winter to try and get in good shape and just generally prepare mentally for the first round. So I think we're getting there, but yeah, certainly I'm looking forward to the next 7 weeks as well. I've still got a bit to do.
You said you're on a health kick. What does that entail for you?
Yeah, I've probably made quite a conscious effort since October, since the last event, to try and really try and up my game and fitness and try and eat a bit healthier. So generally speaking, I've been at the gym, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, and I'm trying really hard to try and improve. So it's not probably something I've publicised, but it's something that I've probably identified as a weakness.
So you don't normally take gym selfies and all that?
So no, definitely enjoying the gym, but not something I've been doing a lot in the past.
You play squash, don't you?
I play badminton and tennis.
Okay. So
yeah, I do that maybe twice a week as well on top of the gym, but yeah, I'm not the best player, so I don't.
New for 2024 is the misfire round for quick questions that turn out to be longer than planned. Here's the misfire round. Tarmac or gravel?
Gravel for sure, yeah.
Leading or fighting?
Leading.
Wet or dry?
Dry.
Hannah or Dan?
That's a good question.
I'm only pulling you up. I can't answer that question. You've had some great results with both navigators, and the reason actually why I was asking that, I'm not just putting you like, is you've had a lot of time to work on your pace notes. Now you've been competing for a number of years, but I did observe actually when we were at the Malcolm Wilson Rally last year that you put a lot of detail into your notes and you work very hard on them. First of all, can I ask what structure do you use with your pace notes?
Yeah, so I've always been 1 to 9. Which is 1 being, you know, 10 degrees, 9 being 90. So I've always used that as a base. But throughout the years, I've developed more, and I've been working with Dan, I think, for 2.5-3 years now, on trying to improve the level of detail that I've got in the notes. For sure, when I first started, the notes, you know, they were 1 to 9. It made sense to me in my head. But there's a lot of different things like length of corner, apex, you know, where the apex is, whether that's coming early, late, or very late, and all these sort of things, you know, and the length of the corner can have a variance on how much speed you can carry or how late you can leave the brake in. And that's something that, yeah, I'm probably starting to work and get the note right now. And what we've been doing the last few events is really trying to get that to transpire into the pace so that we can actually carry, you know, into a late corner. I can carry speed further than what I have been because I'm describing the corner better. So and just trying to put a scale to a lot of things. You know, we are trying to work hard on consistency, so I don't like having, you know, you don't want to have two different four lefts. You want to have them all consistent, or I use a different scale on each corner. So, you know, a four would have a minus, and it would also have a plus and a sharp on it. So I've got different, and that's kind of things I've picked up off other drivers, to be fair, and other bits I've added in that I like myself. And all essentially all it's to do is just to try and carry more speed wherever I can, and then also try and get the exit speed right.
Do you think your notes have changed a lot since you started? You say you've been working with Dan. If you were to look back now to when you first started competing, would you go, oh, I wish I didn't do that, or I'm really pleased to still continue to use that?
It might have been nicer to do it earlier in the career, for sure. I think, you know, I probably didn't start that process until, you know, 28, something like that, 27, 28, that I was really doing a lot of that sort of, you know, prep, if you like, maybe even later than that. So it would have been nice to do it earlier, but I wouldn't have said it would have changed much of my national level rallying, because a lot of the national level rallying I've done is DVD, sitting at home, changes, you know. And I've probably been able to make a fastish set of pace notes when I've been doing that. And that's probably proven by some of the success I have had at national level. But moving into making your own notes and actually competing on the international or bigger events, I've probably not done a lot of pace note making, so it's been something that has needed to come.
You said that you look at what other drivers do and listen to other drivers, and I believe in another podcast you said that you like the approach that Elvin Evans has taken. Is there any other drivers that stand out for you as inspirational? You know, you've tried to take a little bit of here and there from them to try and use yourself, not just in pace notes, but overall.
Yeah, I mean, I think Elvin's obviously, because he's at the level, you know, the WRC is at the top of his game, British, so you can understand his notes. You know, there's a lot of drivers at the top level that, you know, I don't speak French or I don't speak, you know.
It's probably because he doesn't use Welsh. I haven't heard Welsh notes much, but no. Quite long.
But no, certainly Elfin has been one. Obviously, I've listened to a lot of Craig Breen's stuff in the past. You know, in the early days, you know, McCrae and Burns, but they were a lot different. I think things have probably moved on a lot from there. In terms of the amount of detail and the speed that a lot of these cars are carrying now, you know, arguably are probably faster than, you know, even the R5s are faster than some of the world cars back then, you know. So, no, I think definitely Elfin. I mean, I think even looking back to national level, you know, looking at like Matt Edwards's things, I've even spent some time with Matt, you know, learning some pace note work. So, no, there's guys all around, and even down at the national level, you can watch some of these and think, oh, that word actually does work. There's even a couple of my competitors that I've looked at their own boards and thought, well, I see what he's done there. I've got a different slant on that, perhaps, but I have even picked out some of the words, because there's only so many words, and you don't want too many words confusing your notes, but you want to kind of have a good selection that actually describes the road. And if somebody else is using something that you think you actually quite like and would fit into your scale of notes, then why not use it, I guess. But don't like to look at my competitors too much.
Also, I'm sure where to ask. I know some drivers are a little bit precious about it, which is totally fine. You know, you've got to work very hard on it and develop it. So the events that you've got coming up for the BRC, you're setting your sights out to win the championship?
Yeah, I think that's got to be part of the plan this year. It's definitely an ambition of mine. And I think Dan would like to win it as well. Yeah, I think the plan's got to be to go and have a strong start in Northwest. Do think possibly the three events straight after Northwest suit us very well. I've got good experience of them. Northwest is a new event to me, so, you know, I'm not going there expecting to break records, but I think the events, you know, following that are very strong for me, and I'm hoping, you know, a strong start to the rally at Northwest, and then we'll push on with the championship from there.
You've had some great results, as you say, with these events that are coming up. Is there one in particular that you're looking forward to most? I know you've had obviously some challenging times with some of those rallies as well.
Yeah, but no, I actually think when you look at the calendar, it's first of the British Championship has done a really good job of getting a good calendar together. I think that's going to show in the number of people, and they've done a great job in getting the ITV aspect, you know, now getting coverage, that's brilliant. But I think looking at the events, I certainly like Rally Nuts. I've had good success on in the past. Great stages. Some famous stages. Jim Clark's obviously a local event for me, so I've had good times and bad times there. Grampian is an event I really like, and I've had some good success at the Grampian before. I've also been to Caer Dijon, which is good, or Bay. You know, I've done that the last 2 years, so good experience. Obviously, there's some local guys down there that go very well. And then obviously, final round's Cambin, which I've probably one of my favourites of the, you know, events ever. So again, you know, great stages, very, very famous stages. So as a championship, it looks really good for me, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say there's any firm favourites, but there's certainly a few I definitely really, really like. So whilst last year, you know, Ulster was new to me, Belgium was new to me. So there's certainly more that I'm sort of familiar with this year.
This championship, obviously, massive, massive luck. I really hope it all goes very well for you. But you also mentioned that you might be doing some tarmac events as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think I've got to work away on the tarmac. It's definitely not my strongest surface. Like I say, I probably do prefer gravel. I've done a lot more gravel in the past. But yeah, I've got a Mitsubishi Evo, which I share with Willie Patterson from Asset Alliance Group. So we'll probably eventually do some tarmac work on that, just seat time on tarmac, just essentially trying to build up that knowledge a bit more and get more experience event on event. So no exact plans to which event we'll do or which events we'll do, but there'll definitely be some for sure.
You've also got the business to think about as well. Do you feel like when you're having to run the business is one thing, you try and keep the rallying very separate, or do you feel like you've learnt running the business, have you taken any skill sets from that and used that with your process of rallying as well?
I think for me, everything's a process, you know. I think, you know, I've done rallying since I was, you know, 14, 15. I've probably been working the business since I was 12. So everything's part of a process, and I guess you learn. The way I've learned it is, you know, obviously I did spend, you know, 3 years at university, but I would probably say life experiences have taught me well to, and, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. You know, you end up in meetings for sponsors, you end up in meetings at work for some with suppliers, you know, it's all relevant, and you can build the experience in both, and they both do work hand in hand. So, no, I'd say both have helped the other one, if that makes sense. But run it, in terms of running the business, yeah, it's, you know, it's a decent sized business. We've got a good you know, group of people there, so that does make things easier. You know, I've got some good managers and some good places, and that does make my day to day, and it does give me the ability for me to get away and rally. So I'm very thankful to those people and the team that I've got there doing that.
Do you find it easy enough to shut off when you get to the stages?
Yeah, I think I mean, a lot of drivers and co-drivers will probably agree with this from any aspect, even if you're employed, you've got a business, or whatever, you know, you're doing. I think everybody, once you kind of put that helmet on and you switch a mindset. I think I was actually speaking to somebody the other day who was saying very similar. I think actually somebody from a different discipline, Robbie Mitchell, who used to be my co-driver, he does the biking, and he, you know, he's got he did have the North Coast 500 record on the bike.
That's cool.
But he's the same, you know, he's got an 8 to 5 job, if you like, during the week, high pressured. But when he puts that helmet on at the weekends, and yeah, it's a racing bike helmet, but, you know, he says it takes him away to a different place. And I think that's what it does for myself, for co-drivers, for a lot of people in the industry. And I think that's good to have.
It's a different pressure, isn't it? I understand.
Yeah.
It helps give you a break from business, but it's a very different adrenaline feeling.
I certainly would say I'm not often thinking about how many sort of bags of firewood I'm going to sell when I'm going through a stage, you know. So it does definitely give you a switch off for sure.
Are you quite relaxed between stages? Do you listen to music in between, or in the road sections maybe? Like how relaxed do you get, or are you quite nervous?
No, I've definitely tried music at times, but I think me and the co-drivers have definitely got different music tastes. That's one thing I would say.
What's your playlist? What's your ideal rally playlist?
Well, to be honest with you, which you might not think, but I actually, on in terms of rally weekend, I would be very much into Stormzy and R&B.
Stormzy and R&B?
Yeah, believe it or not. It's probably not my typical go-to, but it does seem to work. And
whatever. Well, obviously, it's not done too badly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Niall Burns and some of the boys, the mechanics, Stuart and Hoggy and Steve, they probably get a bit annoyed when we get closer to an event, because it definitely changes into this sort of different mindset, and none of them really like it at all. So, no, it's certainly, but more laterally, I would say, I probably don't listen to a lot between road sections. It's very much in the zone, focused. Yeah, I think there's too much to think about, and You know, I would say I'm quite relaxed, but I also am quite a critical thinker. So I am thinking about, you know, what happened in the last stage, how we can improve that. If we're going back to that for a second loop, then I'll be at least downloading the onboard and making sure I can watch that at the next available opportunity. So
yeah.
We are sort of thinking like that, or whether we're changing the tyres front to back to give you an extra little bit of lift for the next stage. So I probably have switched off from the national days when I did used to listen to Storms in between.
I heard it on the grapevine and I thought,
I know for sure. So, yeah.
You said about tyres actually, and you said you're watching your onboards. There's two things that stand out for me there. You've done tyre development, which is, you know, great to do, but also do you download data as well when you're testing, and do you analyse that as well? You're quite mechanical.
So I wouldn't... Data in terms of the car, I have to say I don't get too involved, but I usually have an engineer to discuss that with. What we would tend to do is analyse the performance of the stage, or certainly on tyre work. You know, we've obviously done a lot of tyre feedback. So I've probably developed that in the last 3 years with sort of Hankook. You know, they've been good at, you know, showing me how the tyre wears, explaining to me the different makeups of the tyres. So I would say I definitely analyse what I do, but I kind of rely a lot bit more on the engineer's feedback to you know, what the data is showing, and try and take a bit of their advice. But I certainly wouldn't like to be put the wrong way. You know, if I think the car needs to be softer and somebody's saying harder, we'll definitely have a discussion about it. I won't just take somebody's word for it.
You've had so many years of experience competing now, but actually your dad competed quite a lot, and then your brother was as well. So you're quite a competitive family. Do you still have the occasional day, I don't know, go karting or something, and it gets very heated and competitive? Or like, how's that worked for you?
No, they're not all competitive guys for sure. Dad's probably not so competitive now, although, you know, he certainly, you know, he's stepped back a bit from that. He likes to see me and Robbie do well, you know, so, but no karting days, although Robbie certainly would push for a karting day if there was a competitive side to have. He'd certainly want to have a race for sure any day of the week, I'm sure. But that's just a brotherly thing, I think. But no, we all generally get on very well, and, you know, Robbie had great success in the 205s in 2006, and Dad was, I think, National Two-Wheel Drive Championship in the Nova in 1990, I think, before I was born. So come from not too bad stock, for sure.
I guess that inspired you to start then?
Yeah, there was always a car kicking around, you know, and, you know, Robbie's 5 years older than me, so, you know, when he was 17, I was only 12, so I'm getting to events, and even when he was 16, he was co-driving, I was getting to events, so it all started quite young for me, and that was definitely good to, you know, to have. And I think Dad started when we were getting to an age where we understood what, you know, what cars were about and what rallying was about. Dad actually started doing like autocrossing and things like that, and then I naturally went into autocrossing first when I was 14. So it's always been good to be around cars, and it's always been good to have, you know, the guys older than me to sort of to, you know, ask questions and rely on their experience a little bit. Yeah, but quite a good family to come from a lot of respects.
So you've talked about fitness, you talked about you get your pace notes right and preparation. I think now more than ever, your mental health and trying to make sure your head's in the right place has become even more prominent. Is there anything you feel you have to do before an event to kind of mentally prepare beforehand?
I think preparation's key for that. You know, if I'm aware of everything that's happened at events, so excuse me, I like to at least check, you know, I'll know exactly what's happened to the regs, itinerary for the whole weekend.
Do you read all that as well?
Yeah, I'll have at least had a look at some form of a DVD for the stages to get an understanding of, you know, what's happening. So I'm going to the event prepared as much as I can be. And I think once I'm at that point where I've maybe prepared for that event for 4 weeks, you know, that's probably quite a good place for me to go. I think if there's been instances where you've had maybe only a week's preparation and you're not as confident in what's happening in the itinerary, you know, things like that probably would start to, you know, actually reduce my performance. But generally speaking, I put rallying at the forefront of what I do. So obviously I've got a business to run for sure, but any spare time is generally actually focused on rallying. So I do try my very best to be prepared.
What about outside rallying? What are you into outside it?
Outside rallying, I do like my tennis, I do like badminton. I enjoy going to the gym, which has obviously been a new thing for the last 6 months.
You've got to mention the rugby, Gary, because you kind of got me under a time frame here, because we've got Scotland playing later.
I like watching rugby. I played rugby until I was 16. My dad gave an ultimatum when I was 16. He basically said, you know, because I was starting to do better at rugby, but I basically got the ultimatum of, I'm not going to put this rally car and put money into rallying if you go out and break a leg or dislocate a shoulder in,
really?
In rugby. So, yeah. So the boots were hung up at 16. So I have got a bit of a liking for certainly international rugby, and my cousins are all really good, really used to, you know, very club level good rugby players. And my cousin Neil's still very involved at the top level in France. So I've still got a really good passion to follow rugby, but it's not something that I play anymore or have done for a while. Don't think the body would take it.
That's right. I mean, we're all getting older and all that. It's interesting what you say. So you said some of your friends and so on play rugby. Motorsport can sometimes be quite a bubble. And I know at school, like, I was one of the only kids in school doing karting. And sometimes it's hard to kind of just chat to people about what's just happened at the weekend if you're doing an event or you're talking about what you've been watching on the WRC coverage. Do you have lots of friends locally that compete as well? Do you have lots of people to bounce off?
To be fair, locally, my age, for example, you know, there'll be nobody, I don't think, exactly the same age as me that will be competing in this local area. But I think the Borders in general has got, you know, clubs and, you know, I've certainly got friends who are a few years older. Ewan Thorburn, you know, he does a little bit, has obviously been Scottish Championship four times, I think. But to be fair, Duns is obviously well known for the Jim Clark. So there is a good interest in rallying locally. It's not like I'm from the middle of Manchester and nobody knows what rallying is. Generally speaking, everybody in Duns knows what the Jim Clark rally is. They know that I do rallying, they know that Ewan does rallying, and there's been Duke Bryden, my brother Robbie, you know, there's other, you know, Des Campbell's local, Mike Horn was a Scottish champion who's just along the road. So a lot of people in the local area do know it. We might not all be the same age, but, you know, there's a good sort of in the Borders in general, you know, there's a great bunch of people, and, you know, you've got Hannah and Josh 20 minutes away. Michelle Faulkner's half an hour away, you know. So there's a lot of guys in the local area that are really good. And no, I find that there's a lot of people around to chat to about it.
You're
sure.
In the right place, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's really comfy,
sure.
Isn't it? Really,
yeah.
You've got some great roads here, actually. Haven't driven up.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
Obviously, you've got very sensibly on the road. But.
Yeah, of course. But no, good locally, good local roads to grow up on for sure. We would like to be maybe a wee bit closer to a forest. That would be quite nice, but. But yeah, in terms of tarmac, there is good roads here.
I know a great rally school that's starting up, actually, that you can come and try on the stage.
I look forward to hearing about that.
Yes, yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. If you were to start again today, what do you think is going to be different for competitors that would have started as in today? So I phrased that question quite badly, but I hope you get what I mean.
So essentially, if I was going to be starting today, yeah, what's it going to look like? I think I'll be back. I mean, the good thing that they've got now, which is the junior 1000s, you know, I think when I was that age, when I was 14 coming through, the only thing I could do was junior autocross. So, you know, credit to COSI junior 1000s. That's a great starting point. I think they've got 3 years before they hit the stages officially. So I think obviously I'll be starting there. I think if I was going to give them advice, my advice would probably to be to try and take as big steps as you can all the time. You know, we've done that from a very, very, you know, early age. We've certainly done the 205s to start with, a one-make championship, something I would really recommend. I think the MG3 championship now is if I was coming out at 17, I'd be going straight into that and trying to win that. But then on from that, I would certainly encourage as big steps as you can. And I actually think, not that I want to encourage people going to other countries, but the year I done in France in the 208 Cup, was, you know, I think Marion Evans would even say the same, was where we learned a lot of our skills. And
in what way, sorry, is it just because the setup's different or the stage is very different?
Yeah, so you in the French in the 208 Cup, and there's other one make championships, and it's really well supported for by manufacturers. And I think this is coming in the UK, to be fair. I think the Irish Championship's got something this year where it's the to the Rally 4, I think Rally 4 208. So, and I think they've obviously got a good structure potential. But I found in this country at that time, there wasn't 30 cars doing a one make series that was in a car that was in a showroom. And the 208s obviously had, you know, Pepe Lopez, Suarez, you had Rossell, you know, all these guys were there, and you're competing with those guys on a, you know, monthly basis. And what I would have said then is, you know, that was well supported. So I think the similar to what the Irish thing that's just started is I think you got £10,000 for first in parts, 7.5 for second, 5 for third. But the sort of the real aspect of it that I liked was the competition level.
Mm.
You know, it was massively competitive, and you did do one pass recce's on gravel. So you had to basically take a really good set of notes on that first stage. You got the DVD, sorry, you recorded it. Then you would sit down in a park, and you used to do it in the rally car. You'd do the one pass in the rally car. You'd sit down in a park with a laptop and your co-driver, and you'd go through the stage, and you had 2.5 hours to do it for the whole loop, and then you would go out in the afternoon and do the rally and the stages.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite, that aspect of it was like massively challenging.
Big jump.
Yeah, big jump. And I think that's something that, you know, that's one of my big jumps, if you know. I went from being in the Scottish Championship, the British Championship, we've done the British Juniors, we won that, then we went for a year in the R2s, but the competition level was maybe 6 cars. And I think when we sort of were doing really well in that, we thought, well, what are we going to do? And it was a bit of a leap of faith, but we'd been sort of recommended George Donaldson and guys like that who were from the world level, actually, you know, recommend us to try something in Europe. And at that time, it was a very good move for me, although it was a big move. But I think that transpired to the following year when I came back and was second in the Scottish Championship. So, and that was moving up from a 208 to an R5. So I think if you can take the leaps and you can afford and get the backing for the leaps, then it's definitely worth sticking your neck on the line and trying to do it.
How did you manage those 4 championships that you did, where you won all of them? How did you maintain that level of competition?
Yeah,
really,
I think,
really impressive. You must be super proud of yourself.
Yeah, very, very, very happy with that achievement. I kind of sat down at the start of the year and planned it out and tried to understand if it was possible. And when you started to look at it, we thought, well, if I can take this event by event and really just focus each event, like that's the only way you can do it, is to take it event by event. If this championship goes well, you stick at it. And everything just kept clicking, and you know, I kind of felt the Welsh one was the hardest. The last couple of stages in the Welsh one was the hardest, but that's because we had some car issues. But no, I think once we'd ticked off the Scottish one for me was the one I'd always wanted. You know, moving on from that to the BTRDA and the, what was the other one I won? BTRDA. British National and Mull. You know, we went to Mull again with a target of, you know, huffing to beat. I think it was it was a guy in an R5, and he was beating us right up to the second last stage, and we took about 7 seconds off him. And then he actually retired in the last stage. I don't think if we didn't win that day, it wouldn't have made the next event as easy. So it all just, you just had to keep doing it event by event and working hard. And Niall Burns was with me that year, and you know, we had a great year, really good, really enjoyable. But I think you got to, the only way I can say is focus each event, don't think too much on it in the future, and yeah, believe in yourself, because that's ultimately going. I think we went into the last stage, I think it was Rally Nuts, 12 seconds down on Ian Bainbridge. He was second, I think, at the time, and if we didn't finish second, we didn't win it. And I think we took 13 out of them in the last stage and won the championship. So that was the final, that was the fourth one. So that was probably the hardest, you know, bit of the rally. But by that point, the drive was there, you know, the drive was absolutely, you know, 150%. There was no stopping us.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. You've got that real winner's mentality, I think, from what you've said before. You said you prefer leading as opposed to chasing.
Yeah, I think I do. To be honest with you, I don't mind chasing either. Obviously, I prefer to be leading because then you've been fastest wherever you've been or, you know, in the morning. But I don't mind chasing somebody down and putting them under pressure as well, you know, if I've had a difficult morning. But yeah, definitely winner's mentality. Definitely, I want to win. I want to keep winning. And that's kind of what drives me. I don't really want to be second. I was second last year, but I don't really want to be second.
Got to win.
Yeah.
What's your plan in your rally career from now? So you're 32 now.
Yeah.
You've got your year planned for this year. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Yeah, well, certainly in 5 years' time, I'd like to be a very accomplished driver, you know. And I would like to think by that time that I'm at least doing some European events. I've definitely got a bucket list that, you know, I'm keeping it myself. But
it's just us talking. Share that.
Definitely, yeah. I've definitely got some ambitions still to achieve, for sure. British Championship being one of them. You know, I've definitely got gaps that I need to improve on in my skill set as well. But there's certainly some international stuff that I'd like to do. You know, I'm not saying I want to be at WRC level, you know, but I wouldn't mind doing a event or two at that level. And I would obviously strategically pick events that I think that I've got maybe ability to, you know, not going to challenge for WRC to win, but I'd like to think that I can get into the top six or something like that and go and give a go. But that's certainly in 5 years' time, I'd like to be doing that for sure.
Which WRC event would you choose?
Yeah, that really depends what calendar's out at the time.
Pretend
yeah.
that you've got, you know, what you just said applies.
Yeah, pretend, yeah, so.
More about the stages of the event.
Yeah, I honestly think somewhere like, certainly a gravel event, so I would be thinking somewhere like Greece, somewhere like Sardinia, something like that. Mm-hmm. Certainly in Europe, because it's going to be the most financially sort of affordable, depending on what backing I can get. But yeah, or Portugal is somewhere that I've always really fancied going, and I think I could do well. I think it would definitely be gravel, and it would definitely be, you know, a couple of events to try and give it a go. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Gary, I think I've quizzed you enough for now, but there was just one question. This year you haven't actually shared what you're driving. You able to disclose that?
I can't do that yet. Obviously my entry went in for Northwest yesterday or the day before.
It looked like it was quite hard to get entry. I think the whole site was absolutely rammed.
I think it crashed a couple of times, but no, I can't disclose that, but yeah, time will tell on that one. I think we've got a couple offers on the table, and both the cars that, you know, we've got offers for are very, very good, and yeah, hopefully in the next few weeks that'll be announced.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It has been a little bit of time since we've recorded this podcast, and it has been officially announced that Gary will be driving the latest specification M Sport Fiesta Rally 2 car at the Northwest Stages. Best of luck to you, Gary. I really hope it goes well. I look forward to sharing with you more episodes of Motorsport Now. I'll be releasing one very soon, so watch this space, follow, like, share, and all the rest of it. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate your support. Have a great week.